This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
As I near the end of my time here at Narara Valley Baptist Church, I'm in a unique position. I now have the opportunity to be a little bit controversial. And so, this may be my most controversial sermon yet. Titled, Why KFC is the Best Restaurant of All Time. I'm truly ready for this morning's sermon. I know this may upset some of you, but as a pastor, every time I pick up this microphone, I'm committed to telling you the truth. And it is the truth. KFC is the best restaurant of all time. It is true. The Colonel, Mr. Sanders, lived a life of ups and downs, perfecting his recipe, all of those secret herbs and spices, after many years, and at 65, he opened his first franchise, and the rest is history. KFC is spread like a weed into every corner of the globe, and as millions of converts, I'm the first to pledge my devotion. Why? Well, because when you have something that tastes good, how could you not share it? How could you not shout it from the rooftops? Think of its impact in Australia. You know, a quarter of us, 26%, are obese. And I say that with no judgment. When it comes to health, I'm the chief of sinners. But KFC, with its humble beginnings, a simple idea, chicken, has spread across the globe and attracted many disciples. The passion and the determination of the Colonel is something to be admired, and it reminds me of faithful Christians who carry the good news to all nations, baptizing and discipling, transforming our world. The Colonel could have kept his herbs and spices to himself, but he wanted everyone to taste and to see. We too should have that zeal about the kingdom of God. And today, I hope we can learn together how to take the truth we have and feed others. We'll be looking at the Great Commission this morning in Matthew 28. And in case you're worried that this won't be a theological sermon based on the topic, the research comes from my ESV Study Bible, the Lutheran Study Bible, Strong's Concordance, and the KFC app. Every commissioned artist, contractor, composer, and disciple maker needs a why. We need a why. So, from Matthew 28, starting at verse 18, please read with me. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Let's have a look at what's happening here in this passage. And Jesus, well, who is Jesus? This is the risen Jesus. We've just finished Easter. He's just died and rose again. He is God in flesh. And he has come to his disciples to give some final instructions. Some of the final instructions he will share with them. He's gathered them together. And who is the them? Well, this is the 11 disciples, because at this point in the story, we're missing one. Judas, well, he flew off the handle, and now there's 11, not 12. And they met with Jesus on a mountain. We don't exactly know where the mountain is, but it says in the region of Galilee. And their hearts were full of worship, but also doubt. And we just read that in the verses before, that, you know, he meets with these 11, and they're full of worship, but they're full of doubt. You know, they've just been through something pretty full on. Their Savior has died, rose again, a lot's happening. And it doesn't necessarily mean they were doubting their faith or doubting that this was the risen Jesus. It's just, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. It's like a heart full of worship, but also it's like this tension within our hearts. You can imagine what the disciples would be feeling. They've just been through so much. And Jesus says, "All authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is the risen Jesus. The conqueror of death. He exercises absolute authority. This showcases his full divinity. He is undeniably God. You know, when Jesus, fully God, fully man, he lived with them for, you know, his 33 years, and he spent 3 years with the disciples themselves, and he didn't always exercise his absolute authority, but his work on the cross, him rising again, this was like, this is Jesus, our King, our Savior, our Lord, with absolute authority, absolute dominion and power. And this is our why. Everything we're about to read in the Great Commission, we need a why, and our why is Jesus. The disciples had experienced Jesus. These 11, they'd lived with him, they'd seen him die, they'd seen him rise again, they believed it. You know, they were all in. This was their why. How could you not do what this Jesus, who they love, tells them to do? The Colonel Sanders, well, he had a why. He had a why. Good chicken. In fact, the Colonel said things like, when I fried it up, it was the best chicken I'd ever tasted in my life. And he said, we know we've got a good thing. The Colonel Sanders' why wasn't money, wasn't any of that. It was like, we know we've got a good thing. We know we've got a good thing. Jesus, in our lives, it's my prayer that you know you've got a good thing. And when that good thing encourages us to go out in the world, maybe we should. We have a why. And after the why, we need to figure out the what. So what is the what? Well, we've got the why. So Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go. Go. Pursue the journey. This word in other parts of Scripture are translated walk or travel. You can't do this command while stationary. To go is not comfortable. You have to put your walking shoes on. To go is not easy. It's not comfortable. These first disciples were going to be persecuted, most of them killed, and they knew it. But they chose to go. If you're in this room and you feel comfortable, maybe it's time to leave your comfort zone. And if you're currently on the go and it's hard, blessed are you. You can't do this command while stationary. It's a command. Go. I encourage you to ponder throughout this sermon, ponder throughout your life, ponder throughout this week. Where is it that you are going? Where is it you are going? Go therefore and make disciples. This word disciples is in the Greek, it's the word learner, pupil. It's sort of like a student or an apprentice. Go and make students. Go and make apprentices. Go and seek the learners. We should all in this room have a heart that wants to become a disciple of Jesus first and foremost, understanding his will, his way, his word. But I would also encourage everyone in this room, I think this has been one of the most important things in my life, I would say this, you can figure this out two ways. You should have someone who is discipling you, and you should be discipling someone. You don't need to have 10 people. You're just one. What if you just let one person into your life to disciple you? And what if you invested your life in even into just one person? My life has been, I have had some great people speak into my life, and I would not be able to do this journey without them. And I'm not necessarily talking about Bible college teachers. I'm talking about the everyday Christians who have taken me under their wing. And things like mentorship programs are great, and I'm so pleased as how that works for so many people. And maybe you need to get into a mentorship program. But for me, it's always just been, I've found people that I've really looked up to and respected, and I've gone up to them, and I've said, metaphorically, give me what you've got. I've told this a bunch of times. When I first moved to the coast at 17, 18 years old, I had a good friend, John Riley. I considered him like a spiritual father for a long time. And I just happened, when I moved to the Central Coast, I just happened to live at the granny flat at his house. But I didn't stay in the granny flat. I wasn't stationary. I went and sought him out. And often we would just sit up late at night drinking cups of tea. And I would just ask questions. I would just ask questions, ask questions. And John Riley, well, it's not that he would always sit down and give me the answers, but he'd help and teach me how to find those answers for myself and lead me to the one who could give me the answers. It was amazing. And we should also be discipling others. Once we've found the person to disciple us, and I'm not just talking to the youth or young adults, you could be 90 years old in this room and it would be good to have someone who is mentoring you. And similarly, we should be finding people to mentor. Consider, do I have a mentor? Do I have a discipler? And consider, am I discipling someone? Am I mentoring someone? Of all nations, everyone, the in and the out. Jesus came into a Jewish world, but this wasn't going to just be for the Jews. It was going to be for the Jews and everyone else. In like theological terms, we call everyone else the Gentiles. He was coming to the Jews and the Gentiles. He came into Roman occupation. Guess what? This was even going to be for the Romans. This was for everyone, the in and the out. We have our why because the Jesus, who is good, has instructed us. That's our why. And we want to share him. And the what is we must therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And it's hard work. It's not easy. The Colonel Sanders, at like 62 years old, after he perfected his chicken recipe, he traveled the country of USA, sleeping in his car, attempting to set up franchise deals with restaurants. And within 10 years, there were 600 restaurants across the USA. That old gets in his car. Colonel Sanders is truly an amazing man. He didn't only develop a phenomenal recipe. Oh, no, he didn't just develop a recipe. Colonel Sanders invented the pressure deep fryer. I think he got some other sort of pressure cooker, put oil in it, and just tried something new. And he figured if I cook chicken this way, under an intense amount of pressure, then it will stay juicy. And boy, is it juicy. And so he packed all that gear, his homemade pressure cooker in his car. He packed all the chicken and the flour, and he just went out into the world, and he started going around. He's like, I've got something good. I'm going to share it. I'm going to sleep in my car if I have to. He goes amongst the world, and he starts franchising this chicken deal. He got 4 cents. I think it might have even been 0.04 cents for every bucket of chicken sold. That was his deal to set up with franchises. And it was hard work. You can imagine him in the car, hot, like he's 62 years old, driving around. He got his first franchise in Utah. But he didn't just want to spread his thing across the world. He also wanted to feed the ins and the outs. He's famously known for saying, I feed truck drivers and millionaires at the same table. I'm not a millionaire, but if I ever was, I'd still eat KFC. Nor am I a truck driver, but if I ever was, I know where I'd be stopping on the road. This is hard work. It's for everyone. It takes courage to go, and we have to put ourselves in situations where we're interacting with the truck drivers and the millionaires. You know, this is the real deal. And, you know, the rest is history. I had the amazing privilege of going to Thailand to a global exposure trip to see what the missionaries in Thailand were doing and to observe and to learn from them. And it was an amazing time of observation. But one of my favorite things was visiting KFC. Really weird. Less chips, more rice in Thailand at KFC. So quite interesting. They also, in Thailand, they even have, you know how we have McCafe? It's like the cafe. They have like McKFC, where it's like, hey, that doesn't make any sense. KFC, I can't figure it out. Cafe FC, that would work. And it was truly amazing. And I would say I'm 50% certain this is not the meal that made me sick. Okay. The what, to spread the chicken throughout the world. The what. We need a what. The why is good, but we need a what. And when we have our what, then we need a how. And Jesus teaches his disciples how. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Baptizing. Here, you know, this is very much similar to dunking a nugget. Literally, the word means to like sort of to. It comes from the word almost to like dye a cloth. It's like, you know, you get the, so that's what the word literally means, to, you know, dunk something. So when I've got my 24 pack of nuggets, don't judge me. I eat a lot of nuggets. I share them. You baptize the nugget in sweet and sour sauce, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is really cool because this is like a Trinity proof text that we would use when we talk about the Trinity. Trinity is this Christian doctrine that we believe in one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We rarely get a chance to do a deep theological dive on a Sunday about something like the Trinity, but it's a doctrine we hold very true. We believe in one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And this is interesting in the name of this word name here in the Greek is really like a, it's almost like a singular. It's like a singular, it's not a plural, so it's not like baptizing them in the names of, like these three. It's like the name, singular one, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we'll look at this last line all in one heap. How do we get disciples across all the nations? Well, we should baptize them and we should teach them to observe all Jesus has commanded us. To teach, to share the truth. Good teaching shouldn't just increase the size of your head. It should increase the size of your heart and the capacity of your hands. I am, in some sense, well, I've written here, I'm sick of know-it-all Christians, but perhaps I'm not sick of that. Perhaps I feel an empathy for people who would consider themselves know-it-all Christians. Perhaps I feel an empathy because I know it for a long stage of my life I was one. You rarely know you are one until you come out the other end, where it was all about my head knowledge, but not about the capacity of my heart or the capacity of my hands. So I feel a bit of empathy for know-it-all Christians. You know, there's still some mysteries about KFC I don't know or understand. I don't know the secret herbs and spices, but I know what it tastes like. I know how to share it. And boy, it'll be the first question I ask God in heaven. Teaching them to observe, not just to know, but to attend to carefully in the Greek. This isn't just about knowing, it's about stuff we put into practice. We must put into practice all that he has commanded us. We must teach the word. We must teach the way, the wide and the narrow, the simple and the serious. We must teach open doors, all invited. We must teach, come to me all who are burdened, heavy, you know, and I will give you rest. We must teach the grace and the love, and we must teach all of this, but we must also teach the serious, and we must also teach the hard, and we must also teach the narrow. Pick up your cross daily. How? That's how we make disciples. How does the Colonel Sanders make disciples? Well, I know because I am one. So let me show you how I became a disciple. I remember my first time I ate KFC. Luckily, I have a photo of it. Train up a child when they're young and they shall not depart from it. Ah, well, you've got to get the taste on your lips, don't you? You've got to get the taste on your lips. Has to be accessible. I love that. You know, Billawilla, my hometown, it didn't have a McDonald's, didn't have a Hungry Jack's, didn't even have a Domino's, but KFC. It was the one fast food that was accessible. If I grew up on the Central Coast, maybe I'd be a disciple of McDonald's, but KFC was accessible. It was in the middle of nowhere. probably for the truck drivers. And when you grow up, you know, you can't just always taste it. You have to become a part of it. You have to let people be a part of it. You have to let people be a part of it. And so my first job, KFC. How do you make disciples? How do you teach people how to cook chicken? You know, KFC is still using the same methods of cooking their chicken as they did when the Colonel Sanders introduced it. It's sort of like in their paperwork. He's like, I will sell these franchises, but you have to do it the original way. The cooks use their hands. They actually get the raw chicken. They actually have to bread and flour with the chicken. They actually have to cook it by hand. It doesn't come like frozen. You put it in the deep fryer. It's like everything has to be done by hand. It has to be taught. It has to be done the same way. Colonel Sanders actually sued some franchises because he would walk in and he would say things like, this gravy tastes like slop. You haven't made it my way. I'm going to sue your franchise. You haven't been doing it the right way. You actually have to get trained in the right way. I remember watching training videos by the Yum Group. And I would sit in the little dingy office and I would get trained about how to make this chicken. And these videos were truly great. You know, it was like talking about customer service. They would have these reenactments where it's like families would come into the KFC store and they're all smiling and happy. And it's like the kids would be like, oh, we're so excited to see our favorite person again. It's, you know, it's the person behind the counter and it's like, hello. And they know the kids by name and it's like, it's amazing. I don't know if I ever got to that level at KFC. But I remember the training videos. I had to get taught. I had to get trained. I had to sit in the office and do the training. You know, that's what it's like being a disciple of Jesus. We have to do the training. We have to learn. We have to find people who can teach us. And once you get involved and you're all in, you start to understand it, well, then you become truly baptized in it, don't you? Covered in it. You know, that's almost what baptism is a symbol of, embracing it all. It's like it washes over us. And I am truly baptized in KFC. I've got the merch. You know, I've got the bucket. I've got my name badge from my time as a 14-year-old. I wear it proudly. You know what I mean? I am KFC. KFC. Then once we know the how, once we know the why, the what, the how, well then a good question is, when? It says this, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. At this point, I think the disciples might have been thinking, whoa, this is like a lot to think about. Okay, so he wants to send us out to all nations where we're probably going to be persecuted, where we're probably going to get killed, and we're meant to teach, and we're meant to disciple, and we're meant to baptize. I mean, we've all been Christians a long time. I don't know how many people you've baptized or discipled. I don't know how many people you've brought to faith, but it's actually really hard work. I can imagine the disciples are thinking, this is going to be really, really, really hard work. But then Jesus says this beautiful line. He says, behold, which is basically like, but wait, there's more. This part is important. And behold, I am with you always. We don't do this alone. We could sit in a sermon like this and feel overwhelmed. Oh no, I don't know who my mentor is. I don't know who's discipling me. We could sit here and we could think, I don't know who I'm discipling. We could sit here and think, I've never baptized anyone. You might even sit here and think, I don't know if I've ever introduce someone to Jesus. It can almost be confronting. It'd be scary. It's like, oh, you can feel it. Oh, we have to go. That's going to be uncomfortable. That's going to be difficult. As someone who is about to go, I'm feeling waves of excitement and waves of anxiety. But we don't do it alone. I am with you always. We don't do this alone. The Holy Spirit empowers us. God the Father, like a father figure, embraces us. And Jesus teaches us, if we follow his commands, how to live his way, to bring other people to him. Till the end of the age, here a theological point. It could be a good question, who is this Great Commission written to? Is the Great Commission only for the 11 disciples on the mountain, the apostles who will take the gospel initially into the world? Or is it to everyone, us, everyday Christians? And my study Bibles theorize that you have to ask the question, is it yet the end of the age? No, it's not the end of the age. Jesus has not yet returned. Therefore, the commission isn't only to the 11 disciples, it is to us now, until the end of the age, and for all Christians, until the end of the age. Now, I say this is theorized because this is what my ESV study Bible, my Lutheran study Bible suggest. There's probably theologians who suggest other things, but certainly where I'm coming from today is that the end of the age means, well, we're living. It's not the end of the age yet. That means we're in this now. Plus, Matthew obviously thought it important enough to write down so that we could read it. Interesting point, I want to say, no matter our age. The Colonel Sanders was 65 when he got his first franchise. He wasn't a successful businessman until he was 65 years old. I don't know if you're in the room and you're 65 years old and you're thinking, it's too late, I'm too old for youth ministry. Well, guess, it's not only the youth and young adults who need mentors, there's people in this room who also need mentors. You know what I mean? It's not too late. If you are breathing, this commission is for you. This commission is for you, no matter your age, from the youngest of young in this room to the oldest of old. If you're breathing and the end of the age hasn't come, if Jesus hasn't come back, then we've got a mission and it's not too late. When is it time for KFC? I love this ad. Did someone say KFC? The ad seems to imply, like, in all seasons of life, the good, the bad, the awkward. It's like, did someone say KFC? You just finish a game of soccer? Did someone say KFC? Oh, it's always time for KFC. It's always time. Did someone say KFC? When is it time to share the good news of Jesus? All the time. He's good. He's always needed. You're talking to a friend at work, really struggling at home or with their health. Did someone say Jesus? You're at school or uni and you hear some people talking and you think, oh, they got a lot on their plate. They sound like pretty anxious. Did someone say Jesus? It's always time for Jesus. These verses in Matthew give us lots to think about. But we can't just think, we must act. And this is a church that acts. I want to make that very clear. This church is like a sending church. I mean, think about the places that this church has sent people. People like Phil Pallas into the Northern Territory to work with Indigenous communities. What a great calling. People like Benj Gould over to Longjetty, a corridor of restoration. People like Will Small into the facets of our community that are truly, truly lost and trying to seek the way amongst all the noise. People like me encouraging me to go and find the people that I feel called to disciple. I think of this church like we have baptism service. We've got another one coming up on the 5th of May. It's going to be exciting. This is a church that baptizes people. This is a church that does disciple people. I hear stories of mentorship and discipleship going on through every aspect of our church. This is a church who's actively engaged in it. But we can always do more. We must act. I truly believe in this Great Commission. And in our focus meeting coming up, we'll be talking about, you know, the plans for the youth ministry going forward. Perhaps we'll share more detail in our focus meeting, but, you know, the gentleman we're recommending, Zach and Josh Kay, have come through this church. embrace discipleship from a variety of people. They're people who seek, I've seen them seek help. I remember Josh Kay in our Bible study early days, changed my life. I remember Josh Kay when you were still in high school, you're coming into like scripture lessons, either to get out of math or because grace was there, I don't know. Both these boys being baptized in our church, I got to stand next to both of them as they were baptized. But it's not me doing the baptizing. It's not just me doing the discipleship. This has been a church. This has been a church who embraced that. And I must say, the Bryant family are heroes. I truly believe this. The next step after being baptized is becoming disciples who make disciples. This is the highlight of my ministry will be leaving it in the hands of people who have been discipled and baptized, who will go on to disciple and baptize. I don't want to be remembered for what I've done, but perhaps what I leave behind. If the colonel just thought about his chicken recipe, if he just thought about its potential, we wouldn't have KFC down the road in Wyoming or West Gosford or Erina. Or, trust me, I know where they all are. He had to cook and he had to share. He couldn't just think about it, even though this passage gives us lots to think about. He had to do the hard stuff. In fact, he's quoted as saying, "The hard way builds a solid foundation of confidence that cannot be swept away." What a great quote from the Colonel Sanders. And the Colonel Sanders also said, "I pray to the Almighty to encourage you to dedicate your life to Jesus Christ. Whatever difficulties you may have to face, turn to Him, recognize Him, and render Him all your glory, and He will help you overcome." And the Colonel Sanders said, "You've got to get God in your heart." Colonel Sanders was a devout Christian, and by the end of his life, after he had sold his franchises, he spent the latter parts of his life sharing the good news of Jesus, like on public TV, television, everywhere he went. He put on his white suit and he would just share the good news of Jesus. It's how he spent the latter parts of his life. And maybe if the Colonel Sanders can share the good news of Jesus, maybe we should too. And so to end, let me encourage you. Share the gospel. It's finger-licking good.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.